Jesus, after choosing his 12 apostles, he gave them a sermon, and he also preached to those who were there. Many call this the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes, or the Blesseds. He also lists all the benefits that they were going to have and they were going to get to share in heaven. He tells the outcome of those who remain faithful. He says, you will lose your anxiety and you lose your anxiousness. And he said, you will win this if you stay in the Holy Word of God. Literally, what you're going to receive if you stay faithful. The Bible says over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollution of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is the worse than that the beginning. You know, God gives us the Word of God that we may live by. There's people, as Jesus Christ mentioned this in the sixth chapter of Luke, he said, I want to remind you that there are some people that hear the Word of God, and they do it. And when they do it, God said, you're like the man that builds a house and on a firm foundation. It'll stand. Then he said, if you are the one that is like the person that hears the Word of God, but he does not do the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of people that you tell people something and you tell people something and tell people that, but they still don't do it. Some people said, well, it's like talking to a brick wall. I'm glad you're helping me preach this morning. Amen. All three of them right here. Brick wall, brick wall, brick wall. You want to open your mouth so I can read your lips. I'm pretty good at reading lips. But you're like a person that you just tell them, and they don't get it. Honey, would you do this? Honey, would you do this? Honey, would you do this? Did you do this? Was I supposed to? Yes. But Peter wrote, he said, there are some people out there that have come to the knowledge of the Word of God. And they were doing it for a while, and then we call that backsliding. We do it for a while, and said, I'm tired of it, instead of finishing the job. There's nothing worse than getting something started up and not finish it. There's nothing worse. It terrorizes you. You walk by the thing, and you see it should have been done. You know, God says, you know what, that's the way it is. In our Christian life, there's a lot of people that start something, but they don't end it. I was interested today. I believe that seven out of the 11 that I asked this morning on what was their New Year's resolution, and seven said, I don't make a resolution because I know I won't keep them. My saying to that is, if you shoot at something, you have a target to shoot at, and you miss it, at least you have a target to shoot at. There's others that don't even have a target, so they don't even shoot at anything. So my encouragement is, do something to say, this is what I want to do. This is what I think I ought to do. Because God expects us to have some targets in our life. God expects us to set out to do something. I know some of you say, well, I'm going to lose so much, you know. I heard a person say that he was going to lose as much as he was, how much he was born with, amen. Well, that's a goal, you know. I was hoping I was a preemie, but anyway. At the end of chapter 6, Christ gives what we call the parable. It's about a wise man and a foolish man. Wise man builds a house upon a rock, upon a good foundation. He's worked hard to build that foundation. Foolish man builds a house, does not spend any time on the foundation at all. Both houses probably cost about the same. The amount of money for the material. probably took about as much time to construct. Probably took the same amount of labor to build them. But the true test, one may have been a good house, and one may have been a great house, but the true test is the foundation. Listen to the parable as Jesus Christ instructs, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Chapter 6 of Luke, verse 48. "He is like a man that which built a house and dig deep." There's the work right there. He dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And the flood arose, and the stream bent vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it. It was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation build a house upon the earth. Against the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and ruined of the house was great. Dear friends, let me remind you that you are going to have some floods in your lives. Floods are going to come. Whether they've come yet or not, they were going to come. People down in Missouri experience a terrible flood right now. Some of them knew. Some of them built on what they called floodplains. And, you know, they got flood insurance and on like that. But they didn't build on high. You know, they thought, well, we missed it so far. Well, people in, I believe it was 1964 here in Great Falls, and that great, great flood that we had through here, and a lot of things changed, but some people, you know, they went right back there and built the same place. So, it is a given that we are going to have troubles and sorrows in our lives. We're going to have floods in our lives. The destruction will be swift, and it destroyed the building. And that was not properly erected on a good foundation. When a man spends time digging deep, laying a foundation on the rock of ages, he will not suffer loss. He will not have to worry when the winds of time blow and the rains begin to fall. But faith in God, it is not a drudge. Spending time to erect correctly, be careful to stay the course. There's a lot of people that have families, and they don't dig deep the foundation. They don't spend time. Someone said, this year we're going to spend time memorizing the scriptures to our children. One person says, and that's digging deep the foundation. The other day something happened, something went on, and I don't know, last week or week before, and I remembered a scripture that my mama used to quote to me all the time. I remember that scripture, and I thought, boy, thank God. I hadn't even started my sermon yet on the foundation, but I thought, boy, what a tremendous foundational equipment that my mother gave me, teaching me the scriptures when I was just a little guy. I mean, 1 and 2 years old, teaching me scriptures, reading the Bible to me, singing the songs to me. How important is that to me today? Absolutely. I'm still using it. When the flood gates are open, when the days of drudgery comes on, I can still use the scriptures, the foundation. I mean, hey, it's easier to teach a child than teach some of the old people. Because most old people know it all. But a child will take that on as new information and they'll absorb it. Boy, I always want to be a child. I want to absorb information. I want to learn as much as I can about everything. Because the more I learn, the better I am to not only help myself, but to help others. I never give up an opportunity to learn more. I want to be learning all the time. There's new things coming out, new things happening. I want to know. I want to be up on top of things, knowing how to work with people and work on things for the Lord. Amen. When I was a little younger, I used to hunt an awful lot, especially when I had my three boys. And I would remind them before we were even getting out of the truck that sometimes you only get one opportunity to harvest your game. Spend a lot of money on gas and take a lot of time. You take time off and you buy your license and equipment and everything else that goes with hunting. But when you are in the field and you make one mistake, you become careless and you don't stay hidden, or you make a noise that spooks that animal that you're stalking. You're not careful of your aim. You go home hungry. And that's a thought that you keep pushing on. And in the Christian life, it is so important that we would keep things in mind that want to be very careful. Our next door neighbor, we ought to be very careful how we live and how we act, so that they will see our life and see that there's something different about that guy, about that gal. Why are we doing it? So that we have the opportunity and privilege to win someone to Christ. That work. We do everything we can to stay straight, and we keep all the policies and all the everything correct to make sure that we do what's right. God says, stay faithful. That's a constant. Stay faithful. Be faithful. When we come to Him, when we hear Him, when we do what He says, and by the way, He has just informed that in this life there's going to be a lot of pitfalls. He just informed them that there's going to be a lot of misery in this life, and woe and battles and fighting and skirmishes. The man who wants to hear what God tells him to do, this is not a man that God will leave ignorant. God will keep teaching him. God says, do what I tell you. And he listened. But he that does not do what he is called to do, God calls him a fool. Christ carefully points out here, by using this parable, the parable is used to make a comparison of earthly things and heavenly things. Or some say a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Keep in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ has just commissioned these disciples. What's he doing? He's not only commissioned them, but he's teaching them. He's reminding them a certain thing. He teaches them the Beatitudes, to give them wisdom and how they ought to act in this very hostile world. Listen to this amazing portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. If you turn there, Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. He's saying, hey, don't be enamored with making money. I tell you what, you can lose your wealth in one day. In fact, the Proverbs says that. Things may be going all good and everything, and all of a sudden something explodes. I mean, something just breaks. Somebody gets sick, something, whatever, and it's going to happen. Blessed are they that weep now. They shall laugh. Of course you're mourning now. Of course your heart is broken. Of course. But he said, hey, you weep now, and it's okay, but you're going to laugh someday. Relax. This is not the end of things. Verse 22, blessed are ye when a man shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. He said, listen, even though people are going to say all bad things about you, hey, it's not over yet. Easy. It's not over yet. Yeah, they're going to say these things. He said, rejoice in that day. Look at what the next verse 23. Look, rejoice in that day and read the next four words. What's it say? Leap for joy. Are you kidding me? Lord, they have done everything they could to ruin my name. They've done everything to say about me and say that I'm not good and on and on. And the Lord says, hey, rejoice in that day. And what? Whoopee-doo-doo! That's what Jesus said. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. There are some things that are going to happen to you in this world that is just going to flat out flip you out. There are some things that are people going to say about you, and you know that's a lie. And unfortunately, even some of your best friends believe it. He said, leap for joy. Behold, your reward is great in heaven. Oh, wait a minute. So he's not just a earthly story, has a heavenly meaning. It's just not talking about this earth. This world is not our home. This is not the place that we relish in. There is a place that we will relish in. There is a place when we get to there that everybody will know the truth. You hear people say, I know what you're thinking. You ever hear anybody say that? I know why you did that. But God says, I'm going to tell you one of these days, I'm going to tell you that your reward is in heaven. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is in heaven. For in the like manner did the Father unto the prophets. Just remember, they did it to the prophets, the other preachers. They did it to the other Christians. He said, they'll do it to you. What's so surprising about that? But woe unto you that is rich, for ye shall receive your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye should mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did the fathers to the false prophet. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Oh, that's so hard. That's really hard. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Now remember, let's back up for a minute. Who's he speaking to here? His disciples. And the people who are sitting there listening. All right, on the Mount of Mount of Beatitudes. He said, now listen, guys, you're going to go out with my name. And you're going to do great things for me. And these are the things that are happening to you. But he said, don't forget, it's not about you, it's about me. But I am not unrighteous so that I will forget your labor of law, the labor of love. I won't forget you. And unto him that smiteth thee, on the one cheek, offer the other. Him that taketh away the cloak, forbid him not to take the cloak also, and give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. There are going to be people who say, hey, I need that, and you give it to them, and they say, I'll pay you back. And guess what? They don't pay them back. What did Jesus say? Let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Now, he knew about it. Quit giggling. I'm not talking about Frozen. I've said this before she even came around. Just let it go. Someone comes and says, hey, I need to borrow that. And if you have it, what are you supposed to do with it? Give it to them. And don't expect it back. I know some families today. I know some families today that have given things to their children or given things to their parents, and the parents never return, the children never return. They never gave back what they promised they'd give back, and they do not have a family anymore. Let it go! Or as I'd say it, leave it alone, Dwayne. Just let it go. My grandkids borrowed something a while back. And at Christmas time, I gave him his Christmas present, just much as other. He said to me, he said, but Papa, I said, son, I love you. That's all I said to him. You know what? I'm still getting three squares, as you can tell. I still got money to put in my gas, in my car. Relationships are more important than possessions. Because possessions rust and they're lost and they waste away. But a relationship is the most important thing you'll ever get in your life. Some of your parents, you say, well, they'll waste it. Let me tell you something about that. It is God's responsibility to judge them. It is your responsibility to be a Christian. Well, it's not fair. You know what, Brother Rick? I haven't found too many things in this world are fair. I've never been treated with respect like I should be treated with respect, people say. Well, I don't know about you, but according to God's Word, I'm just a dust ball. I'm a glob of mud that God just formed out of this world. So, who should get respect? My Heavenly Father. In everything I do and everything I say, I want to build this on a foundation that says, hey, this is who I am. I am one who loves the Lord God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And I'm not going to let something get in the way of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would I miss out on all the blessings of God and miss out on my family because someone didn't do me right? Or somebody cheated in the rook, or what, a you-know, or whatever. And families blow up about the stupidest things. For what? Here's a game. And life is not a game. Life is serious. Life has some hurts. Life is taken away. Let's live every day like this is the last day we have a chance to prove that we love God. Amen. He goes on and he says, for if you love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Verse 33. And if you do good to them who do good to you, what thank have you? For the sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thanks have ye? For the sinner also lends to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemy. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward, read the next two words. Shall be, next word, great. Who is teaching this? Jesus Christ, the Lord God, the creator of this universe. And listen, this is what it's all about. So many people are always keeping score. Always keeping record. My mother-in-law used to keep record. If you called her, she wrote it down. If you visited her, she wrote it down. If you sent her a Christmas present or a birthday present, she wrote it down. And I've seen that. I saw the list. I wish I would have kept it. Don't live like that. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Who do you think Jesus is talking about there? Have we sinned? Have we sinned against the Lord God Almighty? Absolutely. Was he merciful to us? Yes, he was merciful to us. So he said, hey, you be merciful like God is merciful. Everybody I know has a bad day. Or, may I rephrase that? I know everybody that's having terrible days, troubles, and all kinds of things. Just your favorite saying is, are you kidding me? Be therefore merciful as your Heavenly Father. Judge not that ye should be not judged. Condemn not that ye should not be condemned. Forgive. And ye shall be forgiven. Give. This is verse 38. You ought to underline that. Give. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet wherewith, it shall be measured to you again. Oh, we forget this. What you give, God said, I'm going to get you're going to get back. I promise you. Aren't you glad that God does not give us what we deserve? This is a new year. We ought to build this on our foundation and say, hey, you know what? In my life, I'm going to change some things in my life because of Luke chapter 6 here. I'm going to read this down. I'm going to keep reading and keep reminding myself that, hey, you know what? This whole universe does not circle around me, and I'm out to be helpful and not to be given. I'm out to give. Remember what Jesus had told them. If you come to see me, if you listen to me, if you do what I tell you, I will tell you what kind of a man you are. The fellow who comes to me and hears what I say and does what I tell them to do is like the man that buildeth his house upon the foundation rock. But a man that does not do what I tell him to do, I call him a foolish man. By the way, God loves faithfulness. I love that word, faithfulness. You hear that word many times when you're around Marines. They're always quoting that faithfulness of all time. That motto of their life is Semper Fidelis. Or you'll hear them say, Semper Fi, which means always faithful. You know, I found out a few things in life. One, not everyone can be smart. Have you found that out? Not everybody can be smart. Number two, not everybody can be talented. I can't play a piano. Can't play an organ. If I could, I would, but I can't. I don't have the talent. My mom tried to beat it into me for about 2 years and finally said, okay, enough of that. And then she gave me a trumpet and I started playing the trumpet. Just couldn't get that all the fingers going at the same time as that piano. It amazes you when you see people get up there and play that thing. Not everybody, so not everybody can be smart, not everybody can be talented, but everybody can be faithful. You can be at your place by God's grace, where God's called you to be. You can be faithful. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. That's God's promise to you. A faithful man, God says, he will abound you with blessings after blessing. Let me give you some vital areas that a Christian should be faithful in. Number one, and I'm going to do this real fast. He should be faithful in his Bible reading. The Christian Bible is where God communicates to the Christian and where he gets his or her benefit from. This is the Word of God. You read this Word of God. He says, read the Bible. Read it, read it, read it. I'm communicating with you. This is your love letter from heaven. God says, you read this Bible, I'll teach you, you live by this book, and I'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. And I'll give you blessings, he says. Secondly, here's another vital area in the Christian should be faithful in your prayer life. This is where the Christian communicates with the Father in heaven. This is where the Christian is able to speak to God. Lord, I'm having trouble here. Lord, what can I do? Lord, help me. Faithful in prayer life. Hey, get your own food. Get your own convictions. Develop your Bible study. Develop your prayer life. Recognize the Bible, the spiritual book. Where Jesus told the disciples where he was going away. He told them, you get into the Word of God. I'm going to go away. I'm going to be here. You're going to be on earth. I'm not going to be on earth. You're going to be here. I'm going to be there. You better read the Scriptures. He said in John 16, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify him, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Here it is. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit, is come, the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your life. He doesn't leave you. He will guide you in all truth. How can God guide you on truth if you don't read the Bible? You don't pray. Read your Bible. God promises that the Holy Spirit will teach you great and marvelous things from this book. You will never get what God has for you by living on the preacher's coattails. You'll never get it. God's Word said you're supposed to come to church every week. Every time the door's open, you're supposed to be faithful to it. So that you can get on the preaching of the Word of God. So the Word of God can be expounded to you. But you will never get what God has for you by only living on the preacher's shirt tail. You'll never get that. God has things for you. Every morning I read the Word of God, there's something pops up. There's something that God gives me that thrills my soul, that gets me through another day. Hey, you need that too. You never get the experience of the excitement of God speaking to you by hanging on to your parents' wisdom either. You must read the Word of God, boys and girls, teenagers. You must read the Word of God because that is where God is speaking to you. Can you imagine? You have the same ability and the same opportunity as your preacher does when you're reading that Word of God. And it's thrilling. I close with this. As a freshman in college, I'll be honest with you, I came to college only to play football. One late night after football was over, and I was in my dorm room goofing off, of course. My roommate, Dave Smith, who's a preacher now, was trying to study, and he got so irritated at me with my philosophy of life, he yelled at the top of his voice, "Sure, you don't even know what you believe in, do you? Oh, you came to college to play football." He said, "This is a Bible college, to learn the Bible and the Christ you serve. You came here to play football, and now that season is over for the year, you're just loafing around for the next fall. You don't know what you believe." And he grunted something. That night, I got the greatest slap in my face I'd ever had. I realized for the first time that I was so ignorant of the Bible and what it contained. I literally woke up. Remind me of that commercial they used to have. I forget what kind of shaving lotion it was, but the guy went with that and smacked himself and smacked it as hard as you could hear it. And he said, "Thanks, I needed that." If you could this morning, just slap yourself and say, "You know, I need that. I need to know the Word of God. I need to know where my power comes from." This last few weeks, I've been working on my 2016 calendar, trying to get everything down for the new year, trying to schedule the things that I feel that God wants me to accomplish this year, not only in my church, but also in my own life. Our weekly schedule should set up the side time of the week to serve God. Setting aside time to go into church is not serving God. God commands us we're supposed to be faithful. We're supposed to be there to exhort one another and exhort others and each other and warn others and warn us about sin and this danger of backsliding. But God has called us to serve. God expects us to serve. When you come to church, you are being served. Someone studied their Sunday school lesson. Someone has cleaned the church. Someone has made sure the water's okay. Someone has made sure the lights are on. Somebody's made sure that the sidewalks are plowed and the car park. Somebody's already served. When you walk in this building, you're not serving. You're doing what God told you to do, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. But you're not serving. Serving is doing something that is more than sitting in the pew. Serving is doing something of some kind of action to help some others. I want to remind you of your job of service. What have you done? What have you done? One time I had the folks in our church, I said on Wednesday night, I said, "I want you to write down all the things you do for the church. It's kind of hilarious as I was reading some of these down. It had nothing to do with service. It was just being faithful to their service, being there. But they were not serving. How do you serve? With something in your life, do you serve God? I challenge you today. Find something to serve God at. And if you are serving, find something else that you can just rev it up a little bit more. Find it. And it all starts with your foundation and where you're coming from. I was talking to my son. He runs all the McDonald's. And he said, this is what he said. I said, son, can you teach him that? And you know what he told me? I was asking some area specific. He said, you can't teach him that. You can't teach that to them. They've never learned it. They have no character. And they can't change. He said, they won't change. Well, I hope to God that I have enough character in my life that I see something wrong, that I'll change it and get it right. And I will write that down and say, bless God, this old Sheldon Shearer ain't going down that path anymore. That's not where I'm headed. This is where I'm headed. These are the things that I'm going to set up in my life, and I'm going to say, this is what I'm doing by God's grace. By God's grace, I'm going to do this. This is where I'm headed. And Viv Graves told me, what would you say, 5 years now in a row? 4 years in a row, she's read the Bible through. 4 years in a row. My grandson wrote me a note, and he said, Pop, I just want you to know, I know you'd be proud of me, I read my Bible through this year. You have no idea what that can do for you in your life to read your Bible through. Every week we put in the bulletin. Right there it says Bible reading through Saturday. So this week you should read Genesis 24, and by the end of Saturday you should Matthew 8. And if you keep that up, and we'll give it to you every week, and you read your Bible through every year. You said, well, Pastor, I just don't find time. I know busy people can find time, so I think we can all find time. Father, help us to be very careful. Help us to be very careful as we go into the Word of God that we would use this time faithfully and to your blessings. Lord, we're not here for ourselves. We're here because of you. And so, Lord, we ask you today that we would make sure we build our foundation and build it sure. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. I'll tell you what. That's the first thing in her Christian life. You need to be saved. There comes a time in a person's life they need to know for sure if they die today, they'd go to heaven. Let me ask you that just this morning. Today, you're here and you say, Preacher, if I were to die today, I am 100% sure, according to the Word of God, there was a time and a place in my life that I bowed my head before a holy God and said, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me right now. Would you testify by raising your hand and say, that's me, Preacher. I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I won't embarrass you, but I want to know that. Praise God. I'm glad you know that. You're today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you today. God bless you. There's a God in heaven that loves you. And He's given His only begotten Son for you. And there comes a time and a place in your life that you have to look up to a God in heaven and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And because of my sins, I owe a terrible price. That price is death and hell, and I don't want to go there. And I want you to be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe you died on a cross, rose on the third day, come into my heart. God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall we say, that's God's promise to you. I'm going to have everyone to stand. Pianist is going to play. I'm going to be up front. You say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know that. Why don't you step out and come? Let me show you from God's Word how you know for sure you die. You go to heaven. You come right now. You're ordained and say, Preacher, I'm not sure about that.
Hey, let me show you. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. In the new year of 2016, you say, hey, you know what? I got saved the first Sunday. I got first saved the first Sunday of January of 2016. I know for sure I'd die. I'd go to heaven. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the Word of God. You're here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's Baptism. I want to take care of that. Why don't you come? Your dad say, preacher, we want to come members of this church. This is where we want to serve God. Why don't you come at this time? It's a great thing to be a part of a local church that loves you and cares for you. Why don't you come at this time? Again, you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? You're here today and say, preacher, I need to follow Lord and believe baptism. Why don't you come? Here today, you say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. Why don't you come at this time, please? Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity that we can preach your word. Lord, help us to take those things the Spirit of God has given to us and remind us, Lord God. Help us to write it down so we will keep and serve you in a great way. Thank you, Lord, for serving us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunity to serve you. Lord, now I pray that you'd be with us. Help us, Lord, as we come back tonight, that we would be refreshed to serve you and give our life for you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you're dismissed.